are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this weekend, during, or shortly after one of the games to get in on the action. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, my goodness, do we have a heartbreaker to talk about. Giants falling, of course, I'm sure you all saw it, to the Dodgers, 8-6 last night. Giants had a 6-1 lead in this baseball game. And they blew it. The bullpen blew it. And it was kind of a familiar story for John Brebbia, at least. He comes in relief of Alex Wood, gives up an inherited runner, a couple more runs of his own. And then in the ninth inning, with the Giants clinging to a one-run lead, Tyler Rogers, you know, the Dodgers have given him trouble in the past. Not that I think that that's predictive, but Tyler Rogers comes in, clearly did not have his A command. He walked the first two batters he faced, just could not throw strikes, and then kind of in a complete get-it-in situation, pinch hitter Will Smith puts one over the wall. So really a gut-wrenching loss for the San Francisco Giants. But as I continue to say, it is important to keep in mind the context of the playoff race. Giants have a very large lead over a playoff spot. And at the time of this recording, we're monitoring the Cincinnati Reds game. Because yesterday, the Phillies lost, so that pushed them back, and the Reds won. So the Reds are still that team to pay attention to if your main concern is the Giants making the playoffs. And of course, the wild card game certainly counts as a playoff game. But at the time of this recording, the Reds are trailing 5-0 against the Mets. So, you know, as it's like we're so ingrained and entrenched in what's happening with the Dodgers and the Giants that it's easy to lose sight of the actual relevant other teams that will have a huge say in whether or not the Giants make the playoffs in general. That being said, of course, the most relevant team to watch is the San Francisco Giants, and you can make an argument to me, and I wouldn't fault you for making it, that, you know, don't really even pay attention to these other teams and just worry about your own business. But it's important to keep in mind who you're playing when you're facing the Los Angeles Dodgers. You are facing a team that, talent-wise, looks to be the very best team in all of Major League Baseball, and they've looked to be that way for a number of years here. So it's not easy to face this team, and it's not shocking when you give up some runs against that offense. The Dodgers had Will Smith and Mookie Betts to go to in that spot in the bottom of the ninth inning, and it stinks to be playing on the road. That's the other thing. Hat tip to my mom, who just hates road games for this reason. You don't get a shot to come back. Anyway, I mean, it's just not a shocking development when this Dodgers team scores 8 runs in a game, and that's ultimately what ended up happening. But yeah, I mean, Tyler Rogers just didn't have it last night, and I mean, we're talking about a one-inning sample, of course. His ERA on the season increased to 2.05. So all in all, he's been way more effective than not, so we're not going to read too much into this one game where he really didn't have it. In fact, his walk rate this year and historically has been among the very best in the game, just extremely low. This year it's 5.1%, even with the 2 walks last night, and in his career it's 4.9%. He's been very consistent at around a 5% walk rate, so that is exceptionally good. And also, another one of his strengths is that he does not allow home runs. That's just the fifth home run he's allowed in his major league career, spanning 90 innings. So his home runs per nine innings is 0.50. And that is really good. Most people average over a home run per nine innings these days. So he's like twice as good than average at preventing home runs, gets a ton of ground balls. He's the right guy for that situation. I don't really want to hear that he's not. I mean, I'm open-minded to any kind of argument if someone wants to make it, but he's a great reliever. There's like some interesting stuff going on with him in that he's not getting strikeouts like he did the last couple of years, where at least he was kind of average or a little below average at getting strikeouts, but this year that rate has fallen. And that, to me, is what's led to the peripherals being a little bit worse, but regardless, I mean, he's got a 2.05 ERA on the season. It happens. Relievers give up runs sometimes, of course. Tyler Rogers has now given up 10 earned runs in his 44 innings of work. So he's been phenomenal, and way more often than not, he's helped this team. It's just tough facing the Dodgers. They're not going to help you out. If you are struggling with command, they are not going to chase. And then they can hit home runs with the best of them. So the Giants got a little bit of a taste of their own medicine last night. That's what it's like to face this Giants team when they're at their best. They're not going to help you out. They're not going to chase. And then the home run ball can be hugely significant. And that's what happened. So coming up next, we'll just continue to break this one down. We'll talk about some of the positives from this game. And eventually we'll get you set to turn the page and look ahead to the rest of the series and where the Giants stand and everything. So all of that coming up next. But first, everybody knows it's beneficial to be eating more fish to get omega-3s and protein, but the seafood counter can be really intimidating. Which fish tastes the best? What type of cut? Can you really be sure about the quality? That's a big one for me. Wild Alaskan Company takes the guesswork out of buying wild-caught seafood. They deliver high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Each shipment contains premium, wild-cut, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be, always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. And right now you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. Make sure to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. All right, as promised, we're going to keep this one going. We're going to talk about this devastating loss for the Giants. But I do want to point out, like, in what way was it devastating? It's perhaps devastating in that, you know, you should have won that game. Giants led 6-1. And then knowing that you could have had a 3-game lead over the Dodgers in this division, but instead it's one. But I do just want to take a step back and be like, you know, if you had told us when the season started that on July 21st, the Giants would be in this position, they would have the best record in Major League Baseball still, they would have just had a terrible loss to the Dodgers, but they'd still be leading the Dodgers in the division, having the best record, and having a 10.5 game lead over a playoff spot, with the team that's relevant to that 10.5 game lead currently losing their game 5-0. So it's looking like by the time the Giants even play tonight, that'll be an 11-game lead over a playoff spot, and they'll have a chance to increase it to 11.5, and they'll have a chance to increase their division lead to 2 games over the Dodgers. And at the very worst, they'll be tied after tonight's game for that NL West top spot. Any single one of us would have jumped for joy knowing that was the state of the Giants at this juncture. So I get it. Things have changed. You know, expectations change. But let's just not get too carried away. And I don't know that anyone is getting too carried away. Maybe I'm just talking to myself here, which, you know, I am. But I digress. I don't know where I'm going. Today has kind of been a weird day so far on this show. But I want to talk a little bit more about Tyler Rogers. There's just some interesting kind of facts about him that let's get into really quick. The splits between right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters. This is something that was first brought to my attention when Gabe Kapler mentioned, you know, Tyler Rogers' all-star candidacy. He said, I think it's worth taking a closer look at how dominant he is against left-handed hitters. He said, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a right-handed pitcher who is as dominant against left-handed hitters. So I dug into it, and my goodness, was Gabe Kapler correct. So we're going to talk a little bit about the splits. But as dominant as he is against left-handed hitters, which is unusual for a right-handed pitcher, especially like a soft-throwing right-handed pitcher, oftentimes even these sidearm, underarm, you know, submarine type of guys struggle against opposite-handed hitters, but not Rogers. But let's talk about his numbers against righties. So right-handed hitters in Tyler Rogers' career, he's faced 214 of them, and they have a 286 batting average against him. As I have said, he does not walk a lot of people. He's only walked 8 right-handed hitters out of 214 faced. So that's a minuscule 3.7% walk rate. And so the on-base percentage is not much higher. It's just 316. So all in all, that's not terrible to be allowing your opponents to get on base 31.6% of the time. But, okay, moving on, the slugging is 389. So that's not a ton of power either when we're talking about the isolated power, the difference between the slugging and the batting average. It's just 103. So that's actually quite low. But the thing is, the batting average, like, that is a high batting average to be allowing against righties. I mean, most batters who come up there are going to be right-handed. Like, in his career, he's faced, again, 214 righties and just 156 lefties. Lefties are hitting just 168, so more than 100 points lower. And again, he doesn't walk a lot of them. The walk rate is just 6.4%. So they have a 258 on base percentage, significantly lower. And the slugging is just 204. So that isolated power is way less than 100 even. And 100 was good. But we're talking about 0.046 as an isolated power against lefties when you're a right-handed pitcher who throws 82-mile-an-hour fastballs. That is just incredible. And that's kind of what Kapler was talking about. And just to give you what, like, how this breaks down, he's faced 156 lefties. He's given up 2 doubles, 0 triples, and 1 home run. That's just phenomenal. And again, like I said, when you're a right-handed pitcher facing lefties and you throw 82-mile-an-hour fastballs. But the problem is the righties. Like, that is kind of a concern when you're talking about almost 30% of the time they're getting a hit. So Will Smith, of course, who hit the walk-off home run, is a right-handed hitter. The power is unusual. You don't often see righties or lefties hit for power against Tyler Rogers. Clearly, he just didn't have it. I would say last night was not a typical Tyler Rogers outing by any means. It's not like the Dodgers just worked better at bats against him. He just couldn't find the strike zone. And then it was a get-an-in situation, kind of flopped a slider over the plate, and Smith was ready for it. So I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. I hope no one takes away from this that I have diminished faith in Tyler Rogers. He's been about as automatic as it gets. But it is worth continuing to monitor those splits. When we're talking about platoon splits for a reliever, we are still dealing with small samples. When I'm talking about 200 batters faced or whatever, that's still a small sample in baseball. We need way more data, really, before this is completely reliable. And, you know, there's a case to be made. Nothing is ever completely reliable. So there you have it. I mean, coming up next, we'll talk about John Brebbia also, who just continues to struggle and played a big role in the Dodgers getting back into this game. We'll talk about some of the positives. Giants hitting 4 home runs last night. My goodness, I'm disappointed that they lost this game. Of course, you are too. So we'll continue this therapy session next. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's really something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors well, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too, and that's really important to me. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Look, there's no doubt in baseball, and I played baseball, this is a really common thing, spitting and chewing tobacco products, but I really think everyone I played with and everyone who's doing this currently really should transition to Fully Loaded Chew. It tastes and feels just like traditional smokeless products, which make it an easy transition away from traditional tobacco smokeless products. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Giants listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. Go to FullyLoadedChew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. Next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew. All right, as promised, we're going to keep this thing going. We're going to talk about John Brebbia, talk about the offense having a good night, talk about Alex Wood a little bit, and then just kind of get you set to turn the page and look ahead to what's to come. But John Brebbia seems like a decent place to start here. He is a weird guy when I look at the numbers. Like, pretty much everything is screaming that he should be good, but he just has not been so far with the Giants in 10 and a third innings. And that's the key, is that we are talking about 10 and a third innings. Any pitcher on the planet can have really rough 10-inning stretches. I mean, any pitcher on the planet does have really rough 10-inning stretches. What's weird about Brebbia is that the peripherals are so much better. Like, he's striking out a good number of hitters. He's not walking anybody. He's got a minuscule 2.1% walk rate. He's walked just one hitter out of 48 faced. And the expected numbers based on quality of contact, this is what gets me, is to me, like, when I watch him pitch, he's not getting great contact. I mean, the hitters are having great contact, is what I'm trying to say. He did allow a big two-out, two-run homer last night. He allowed an inherited runner to score, and then he allowed a two-run homer. And to me, that two-run homer kind of changed things. At that point, it was 6-3, and then that home run made it 6-5. So obviously that changed things. The Dodgers were kind of dead in the water. It was the sixth inning, and the Giants had a 6-1 lead. 6-1 lead in the sixth. Very, very gut-wrenching loss to lose that game. However, let me just quickly change the subject and point out just randomly that the Cubs and Cardinals yesterday played a game, and the Cardinals allowed 6 runs in the 9th inning when they had a 6-1 lead. So they ended up going behind 7-6, and that was the final score. So that would be worse, especially because the Cardinals really, really need to get it going. I'm not trying to make excuses for the Giants. I just saw that, and I was like, oh my God, like, that would have been an even worse disaster than what the Giants went through last night. So it could be worse. Like, the Cardinals today are feeling worse than the Giants felt last night. So, you know, there you have it. But John Brebbia, I don't know. He has a track record. Like, I don't want people to just completely give up on John Brebbia based on 11 games. This guy has a major league track record. He's thrown 185 and a third major league innings, and he has a 3.30 earned run average. He's been about 20% above league average at preventing runs in his career. And we're talking, you know, he was just a really good reliever for the Cardinals in 17, 18, and 19. He had Tommy John surgery, and the Cardinals didn't want to wait around while he rehabbed, but the Giants signed him, and here he is. And he's finally coming back here, and the results just haven't been good. We all know that. But I don't want to give up on him. He is under club control through the 2023 season. So he has minor league options as well. So he is a guy, if he continues to struggle, or even as soon as now, because clearly he doesn't have it right now, they can send him down and bring somebody else up and then bring Brebbia back when they think he's going to be good again. And there's every reason to believe he can be good. So I just don't want people to act like he's some terrible reliever and the Giants are stupid to even have him on their team. Like, I want to point out too, Matt Whistler, remember him? He's been really good for the Tampa Bay Rays. I was constantly saying the peripherals were strong with Whistler. The results just weren't there, but there was reason to believe he would figure it out, and he has in Tampa. And with Brebbia, I'm kind of seeing the same stuff. But Brebbia is even more valuable because he has these minor league options. So he's a guy, if he struggles, you don't have to lose him. You can just send him down. And so he is struggling, so maybe they send him down. Maybe not, I'm not sure. But anyway, do need to just quickly talk about the positives. Giants hit home runs. Dickerson hit a home run. Wade Jr., Estrada, and Yastrzemski. So it's really disappointing because the bullpen blow-up kind of cancels out a really good night for the offense. Pretty much up and down the lineup as I look through, everybody had a good night. Tauchman did not 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts. Solano did not 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. But pretty much everyone else. And I thought Alex Wood pitched pretty well, too. So coming up tonight, the Giants have a chance for redemption. That's the beauty of baseball, is you get to turn the page and you have a game the next day. It's going to be Logan Webb against Julio Urias. Webb has been really good this season. And so I'm anxious to see him just continue to build up that pitch count. And he's facing a premium opponent. So it's a big test for Logan Webb. Can he go out there and continue his good season against one of the better offensive teams in the game? On the flip side, Julio Urias, I'm pretty sure that he's been struggling a bit as of late. He started off the season great, but the numbers don't look as great at this point. He is a left-handed pitcher, so the Giants will have that lineup that, you know, is supposed to be good, but has struggled. Like some key guys like Darren Ruff has not struggled, but Austin Slater, you know, it's the righty lineup. Slater, Ruff, Flores, Solano. The thing is, a lot of those guys are playing every day, like Flores and Solano, because of injuries. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see which lefty has to play in the outfield, because as the roster is currently constructed, we're having Duggar or Tauchman start even against left-handed pitching, which is not ideal. So I'll be fascinated to see what that lineup is. We will be back tomorrow with another podcast talking about tonight's game. Can the Giants rebound, or do they go into a little bit of a funk here after this crushing walk-off loss? I'm hopeful that they can rebound. It's a new day. Logan Webb on the mound, I feel good about it. So if you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. Stay locked on, Giants.